Hello, and welcome to the Anyone Can Change podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. For the first 20 years of my adult life, I lived a life that I thought I should live. I married the man, we had the kids, I had the career, we had all the things. However, most of the time, I felt sad, unfulfilled, and lost. At 28, I was diagnosed with depression and panic disorder, and as it turns out, this was one of the greatest gifts of my life, because that was the time I first fell in love and became obsessed with human behaviour. Why do we do the things we do, and how can we change it? This podcast is going to be a place where I share everything from my years of study and experience with my hundreds of clients and thousands of hours to serve you, to give you what you need so that you can create the change that you have long been desiring. So join me on this journey, mind, body, and spirit, so that you can change too. Hey, hey, and welcome to podcast number 8. Today I am discussing a huge topic, okay? It's the topic of what's blocking you. Obviously, as a coach, this is the number one thing that I would deal with every day with my clients, helping them to become aware of what those blocks are so that they can move through them, discard them, change them, shift them, whatever they need to do to get where they want to go. First of all, before I jump in, I want to say a huge thank you to everybody who's been giving me feedback, writing in questions, and really getting involved with the podcasts. I am so grateful and I'm so glad that these are supporting you. So thank you. So let's get to it. Let's get to this big topic of what's blocking you. Now, I'm going to start at the very beginning, okay? I know that this probably, if for anyone who's done any personal development, you've probably looked into this, because I know when I was in that situation where I was experiencing panic and depression, I wanted to know what it was that was stopping me from changing, because I kept trying to change, but I couldn't, or I perceived I couldn't, which really led me down the path of brain science and human behavior. So understanding why we do what we do and how we can shift it. So today we're going to talk about all the fundamentals that I have learned we need to become conscious of and then actively take a role in shifting if we really want to create the change that we're longing for in our life. So the number one thing we need to talk about when we're talking about what's blocking you is the ego. I know I've touched on it before, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about it today to go in depth so you understand a bit more about the ego. So the ego is that part of our brain, that part of the caveman brain that is designed to keep us safe. The thing about the ego is it will tell us whatever it takes to stop us from taking risks or doing anything, in inverted commas, dangerous. Why does it do this? Because its number one job is to keep us from harm. And the truth is that the way the ego defines danger or harm or, evil or unsafeness, anything like that, is just any sort of change. It's the unknown that will trigger the ego. Now, a lot of us live in ego and it can be quite resourceful. It doesn't always have to be unresourceful like that, the egotistical narcissist that gets painted a lot in the media. Every single one of us has an ego and every single one of us interacts with our ego every day. It all depends on resourcefulness, whether or not you're working with it or against it, that will influence how much you can change and create the life you're looking for. So the ego is that voice in your head. It's the louder voice, the softer voice, the gentler voice. That is your inner knowing. You know, that's that part of you, your higher self, whatever that may be. So the ego I've always found speaks louder. It's the one that even it yells at you, it tells you off, it gets very stern with its language. It's the inner critic. Whereas the voice and the muscle that we want to build is the inner self, the higher self, your spirit, your knowing, whatever you call it. It's that internal guidance system. Don't mind my dog. She is over there getting herself comfortable on a basket that's already padded and delicious, but apparently it's not good enough. So she is turning it into a pile of lumpiness. Anywho, each to their own. Back to what's blocking you. So the ego. One of the things early on in my journey was that I made the ego out to be a sort of almost like a very dark, evil part of myself. And I suppose the way I've sort of set it up, it could be misperceived that way. And it's really not. Its highest intention is to keep us safe. The mistake we've made is that we listen to what it has to say instead of really genuinely truth testing or learning to build our other muscle of stillness and silence and listening through other modalities like meditation. So one of the really cool exercises that I do with my clients and I've done for myself is you want to give your ego like an alter ego, you know, give yourself an alter ego that is your ego. And you know, a lot of people make their ego to be this really, you know, the evil part of them, and it's not. So let me give you an example. My ego. So my ego, she's like an Amazonian woman, except in size and stature, except she's a cave woman. So she's got this little like leopard fur bikini on and messy hair with a bone in it. And she carries around a, you know, a big stick. And although she's strong and can beat off, you know, threats, she doesn't actually have the knowledge and the wisdom that my inner guide has. So because I sort of give my ego this alter ego, this avatar, if you like, it means that I take those stories I tell myself a lot less seriously. And it's important to understand, and we're going to jump into the first point of what's blocking you, which leads from what I'm talking about, but your unconscious mind works in pictures, symbols, and feelings. So it believes that my ego is true. As long as I can imagine it, it's truth for my unconscious mind. So I take away the power of my ego to diminish my real power, because she's really this well-meaning cave woman who's incredibly strong, but really she doesn't have the wisdom that I'm looking for in most of the decisions of my life. So I really encourage you. It's a fun exercise, and it also serves you in your day-to-day life to come up with your ego. What does he or she look like, and how would you talk to them differently once you have this alter ego or this avatar in your mind? Now, I'm going to go through the points of what's blocking you. Number one we're going to talk about is beliefs. This is the most powerful part of our brain, is our belief systems. Our identity, which is a construct of beliefs, is the most powerful thing in our mind, okay? Because if we are attached to, if I am something, then our unconscious mind, like a puppy dog or a large cave woman, will do exactly what they have to do to follow and become that identity. Now, most of us have identities that we have created unconsciously, and they've come from below the age of 7, from society, our parents, media, movies we watched, TV shows we watched, all sorts of things. And that's where our most people's identity has been created. However, this is often why you're being blocked, because you are actually still operating as a 7-year-old or younger. So the beliefs that we have are incredibly powerful. We can look at beliefs from everywhere from like global and identity beliefs. So global beliefs are the world is, men are, women are, work is. And anything that we believe, our unconscious mind will make sure that happens. Now, there's a fantastic book that I'm actually reading at the moment, and I've read loads of books on this. One of the most powerful books you can ever read on your belief systems is The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. He's incredible. He's a biologist, a scientist. I don't think he's a psychologist, but he has literally studied the biology of belief for decades. And he talks you through exactly how you believing that you are not enough, and how that physically affects your body and also your energy, and how you will create the world that you're living in, how you will actually manifest your experience. So the beliefs that we hold are the things that really are driving what we will manifest into our world, what we will create into our world. Now, the thing about beliefs is they're just convenient assumptions. That's it. Because in the world we live in today, there is very, very little hard truth, like absolutely black and white truth. 90%, in fact, 100% of our beliefs, if you believe that, are actually made up. So we have the power to change them. Most people are still operating from the same belief system and mindset that they've been operating from as a child. What do you do about it? Well, you start to become conscious. So get that journal out and ask yourself the big questions. Anytime you're in a situation where things are not the way you want, ask yourself, what do I believe about this situation? And get that belief out on a piece of paper. Become conscious of it. Now, one of the cool exercises that you can do is you can literally just flip it. So you've got your page of beliefs and then you flip it if it serves you. You always want to ask yourself, is this belief serving me or is it not serving me? Because there's no such thing as right or wrong, and every single human is different. And sometimes we're ready to let go of beliefs and sometimes we're not. So one I held on to a really long time was that I didn't like hard work. Even though unconsciously I hadn't noticed how hard I'd worked at achieving in a sport, or how hard I worked as a parent, or how hard I worked in my studies with human behavior. It was like I just deleted all that information because I believed that I didn't like hard work. And this was a belief that I held on to because, in fact, I was really more concerned about, I had a fear of success. So I became super aware of that belief system and I did the work to let it go. Now, number two is well connected with beliefs, and it's the patterns of behavior, our unconscious patterns of behavior. One of my favorite, absolutely favorite things to say to clients and to everyone, and it's something I live by, is this statement: pay attention to the external clues. What I mean by that is if you get really, really curious about your beliefs and your patterns, you will see them repeating over and over and over in your environment, in your external world. Now, I'll give you an example of this. It just happened to us yesterday, right? We were talking about, I don't know how we got there. But anyway, it was on abundance, right? And we were joking around about something. And remember, the unconscious mind doesn't actually know the difference between a joke or not. So if you're a cynical and a sarcastic person, it's really not serving you. Because if you're shaming yourself, whether in jest or not, your unconscious mind is like, all right, cool, I'm a shit human. I better behave like a shit human. I better destroy my... So I have no self-worth, I'm not worthy, I'm not valued because I'm a shit human. You know, honestly, look at how many comedians have depression. It's the truth, okay? The unconscious mind has no sense of humor, so be careful what you put in there. So we were joking about abundance. And then all of a sudden, Justin's like, oh God, I've overfilled the kettle. And I've laughed, I've gone, ah, we've got way more water than we need. And we were having a good laugh about that. And then I can't even remember what happened next. I opened the fridge and I was like, what the? How do I have 3 blocks of cheese in here. So of course we laughed again. We're like, ha, we've got an abundance of cheese. So the thing is, and I know this sounds really small, but it's, I'm keeping it super simple for you. When you shift something in you, you will see it everywhere. There will be patterns of behavior. So notice the patterns of behavior that are blocking you, okay? Or the patterns you're seeing repetitively. Are you repetitively being made redundant? Are you repetitively being dumped by the same sort of person in the same sort of way? Are you repetitively having the same arguments? Are you repetitively having the same problems? Now, these are all unconscious patterns of behavior set up or underpinned by your belief systems and your belief about yourself, a belief about the world, belief about the situation. So it's important that you become conscious of them and shift them. Same process. Get into that journal, notice the external clues, get the patterns down on paper, and start to shift them and heal them. How do you heal them? Look, this is another whole podcast, and this is a lot of the work that I do with clients. It's all about rebuilding who you want to become. Okay, so identify what's not serving you, but then, like we spoke about, I believe last podcast, you need to create the new you, your new focus. How would the patterns of behavior or the belief systems of this new person, what would they look like? How would they be? You create them, you physically get them in your journal, and you turn up and you be that human and you let go of those old patterns. You can also let go of old patterns through things like forgiveness. There's a fantastic book called Zero Limits by Joe Vitale. This method I give to clients a lot. It's incredible. You can also let go of them through even things like meditation or energetic healing. There's loads of ways you can do it. You just got to find what's right for you. Okay, so that's patterns of behavior and beliefs. Number 3, the language we use is absolutely fundamental, okay? What we talk about manifests. Some people are so powerful at this that they can, they've built the muscle so strongly that they can literally say something and it happens within, you know, 12 hours and sometimes 2 minutes. So the language that we use is really, really important. So put it hand in hand with things like beliefs and focus, and you see how this becomes a superpower. Because what we language, we will create. But if we can't language something, we will never create it. What does that mean? It means that we have not created the neural pathways in our brain to physically be able to create what we want to create through language. Okay? So one of the things I see a lot is, and I've touched on this already, is that we often articulate what we don't want. Yes, it's a part of the brain. It's the negativity bias. It's the ego that has access to all of our deepest fears. But what we do is we language it out loud to everybody over and over and over again. By all means, if you've got something you need to say, say it. You know, if you're angry about something, get a bloody pillow and scream into it. Or go and stand in the middle of a park and scream. Do whatever you need to do to get it out. But do not, whatever you do, sit around telling the same old shit story over and over and over again, because then that can just go into the category above of patterns of behavior. Because the more you language it, the more you're going to get it. The other thing about language is, how are you speaking to yourself? Because we need to be speaking to ourselves as our best friend. Do you look at yourself in the mirror and say, good morning, wonderful human? Or do you say, oh, Jesus, you look tired? Because if you're constantly languaging criticism and judgment at yourself, you're going to be doing it with others. Criticism and judgment, or anything that we do externally, we do first internally. You know, one of the things for me about Trump is that for the shit that comes out of his mouth, Like, wow, it must be a shitstorm in that head of his, because if he feels that strongly and that fearfully and that disconnected from most of the planet, then imagine how he feels on the inside. And I'm not saying, like, I am definitely not on his team, but I just want you to understand that what goes on inside is the way we will always behave on the outside, okay? So please do an audit of the language that you use. Are you speaking to yourself as your best friend? Are you speaking to others in a way that you're lifting them up? Are you, you know, like, one of the things that really upsets me, even disgusts me, is this thing that our society has done to say that it's okay to publicly shame and criticize others. And I got to tell you, it's bullshit in my world. I just think that there's absolutely no need for it, and we should never have made it okay. Why do I say that? Because genuine feedback comes from a place of compassion. Genuine feedback comes from a place of, let's you and me have a private conversation. I, you know, witness what's just happened, and can I please give you some feedback? It does not come from a place of, I'm on my computer and I can say anything about you because it's freedom of speech. No, it's a no. Please be aware of the way you use your language. What are you focusing on? Are you doing it because you're coming from the heart, or are you doing it because you're coming from judgment and criticism? Please be aware of your language. Take an audit on your language and notice the way you speak to the people in your lives, especially your kids, because your words become their beliefs. So really, really be aware of it. Number four, when it comes to what's blocking you, and I have covered this already, but I'll go into a little bit more depth, is where you focus your attention. Now, I know I've done a whole podcast on this, but where you focus your attention is number one, is probably one of the major reasons you're not getting what you want, because you are focusing on what you don't want. Where your attention goes must be on what you're creating. It must be on the things that you acknowledge for yourself each day. It must be on what you're grateful for. Do you know there's this ratio, right? Cool ratio for you. And I'm really aware of this when I'm talking to my kids, especially because, I mean, I'm certainly not perfect, especially when one of them is really pushing the boundaries or dragging their feet or something. There's a 3-to-1 ratio. So for every bad comment we make, or not bad, every negative comment we make, we have to give 3 positive comments to balance it out. That's how our brain works. So please be super aware of where your attention is going, okay? Are you using, like, one of my favorite ones is, do you say to your family, to your colleagues, to your friends, oh, don't forget the bins. Don't forget to get petrol. Don't forget da 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 da. Well, you're actually embedding in their mind and yours to forget, because the unconscious mind doesn't hear the don't. It drops the negative. It hears forget. And there's this example that's used all the time. Like, I want you to not think of a pink elephant right now. You're totally thinking of a pink elephant, aren't you? This is the power of language. Because what you've done is you've just engaged your unconscious mind on something you don't want to think about. And what do we know about the unconscious mind? Well, it is this supercomputer that once it thinks it's real, like the pink elephant, it's going to do whatever it can to create it. So you've just put all your brain energy on creating a pink elephant, even though that's exactly what you didn't want. So swap the language. Please remember the bins. Please remember the shopping bags. Please remember to get petrol. It's those simple things that really will have a big shift in unblocking you. Now, number five. Number five is a biggie. Number five is your shadow. Your shadow is the part of you that you don't want anyone to know about yourself. It's the part that you shoved down, you've been shamed for, ridiculed, you felt embarrassed about. You fear if people see it, know it, or experience it, you'll be rejected. It's the bit that you hide from the world. Now, there is so much work that can be done in every single human to let go of the shadow. However, so many people don't and won't. Why? Because it's challenging. It really is. It's our dark corners. It's the doors in the house of our mind that we have double, triple, quadruple locked that we want nothing to do with. And the thing is, it's the fear of letting it out that is so much worse than the actual discovering of our own shadow. Now, one of the parts of my shadow that I really needed to out in a massive way, as a kid, I was so shy. I did not say boo. I was terrified of the world. And it was because, I don't even know the exact moment that this happened to me, but I learnt so deeply that wanting to be the center of attention was the worst thing ever. Now, let me give a little bit of an insight here. I'm an only child. Like, seriously, surely that's part of my birthright, right? To want to be the center of attention in my own family. But I learned really young that it was so wrong. It was so wrong to want to be seen. And I, as I say, I'm not even sure. Like, I did grow up in a family that you know, had a lineage of kids are seen and not heard, and, you know, a father, you know, bless him, who was very like, shh, would always shush me and tell me, oh, later, Emma. But I don't remember any, you know, moment traumatic. But this became so much a part of my identity that I did not say boo. The last thing I wanted to do was be seen. And the truth is that even saying today, I want to be seen, you know, I want to be able to speak my truth. I want to feel like I have people's attention. You can tell even in my voice, like there is a part of me that's resisting it. But the more I say it, the more I own it, and the more I put it out there, the more confident I become. And the thing is that if you've seen me in any of my videos or even on these podcasts, like most people will describe me as a confident person. And that's because I constantly out my shadow. I own it. I love it. I learned to be like, it's all good, you know, whatever. My dyslexia was another part of my shadow, that I was stupid. Gratefully, especially when I got to about the age of 30 and really got in depth learning about the brain and understood my own intellect, I would tell anyone, oh my God, I thought I was stupid. They diagnosed me with dyslexia. It's ridiculous. Do you know one of the tick boxes on the you might be dyslexic list is genius? Einstein, man. Dyslexic. So this is the way that I used to out my shadow around being and feeling stupid and not enough in that arena. You know, it turns out I'm highly intelligent. And it doesn't matter, because as long as I believe I am, and as long as I'm happy to out the parts of me that I was ashamed of, then no one can stop me. I think one of the most beautiful examples of this in my lifetime is Robbie Williams. I give this example all the time. Like, I genuinely think the guy rocks. And look, as a child, and again, this is a whole nother podcast, he was taught that love was in fact acknowledgement. I'm sorry, significance. So he learnt that he had this belief system that he thought the more I can achieve, then I will finally feel the love I've been looking for. You know, I believe he was taught this very young as a kid by his dad. I could be wrong. So he achieved and he achieved and he achieved and he achieved. But of course, it never filled him up. It never gave him the love that he wanted. But the thing that really helped him transcend all this pain and learn about real love and fully accept himself was his ability to out his shadow along the way. I used to say to my husband all the time, I love the way he tells the media first that he's gone on another drug binge, or he's slept with however many women, or that he sits on the end of the bed after he's slept with some random woman and cries because he's got no one who loves him. He used to out himself and his shadow all the time. And the value of this is incredible. I mean, look at him now. He's a happily married, slightly chubby, highly successful human being that's loving life. The power of the shadow is only in keeping it in the shadows. So please be kind to yourself. You don't have to go around and tell random strangers about your deepest, darkest fears about yourself. But I do encourage you to start to identify what you don't want the world to see and make friends with it. Get into your journal and just write it down on a piece of paper. Write down the things that you are afraid or ashamed of. Write down the things that you don't want people to know. Write down the fears, your deepest fears about yourself. And then just find ways in your life to prove them wrong. Find ways in your life to talk about them with people you trust and love and feel safe with. If this is an area that you really want to go into because it can massively shift your life, by all means, come and do some work with me. Or the other option is the greatest person, woman book to read is Debbie Ford, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. Incredible book. Now, I give a lot of my clients this book to go through later on in their program, because it isn't something that if you're new to growth and really stepping into yourself, let's start with beliefs, okay? Because shadow is a lot more challenging. But, you know, like anything, right? The harder it is, the greater the reward. So that is definitely, definitely shadow. Now, the last thing I'm going to talk about kind of is overarching and encompasses everything that I've already spoken about. And that is the number one thing, or the governing body, if you like, of what is blocking you is your attitude. If you think you can't, then you can't. You really can't. If you are afraid of failure, then you'll fail. One of my favorite statements is, I'm either winning or learning, because there is no failure. If you're a perfectionist, for goodness sake, stop it. There is no such thing as perfection. Even perfection in nature is imperfect. Your attitude is everything. It is not necessarily easy to change. Some people it is, some people it isn't. It's because of their belief system and their mindset. It's because of their behavior patterns. It's because of the language that they use. It's where they focus their attention and their courage to out their shadow. But it's your attitude. Do you keep getting up, or do you just think, oh, it's too hard, I can't do this, and quit? For God's sake, stop quitting. Stop quitting on yourself. Because if you quit on yourself, no one else is going to do it for you. No one else is going to create the life of your dreams. No one else has the power to. You do. Your attitude is everything. So please do whatever it takes to embrace an attitude of growth, an attitude of courage and vulnerability, to be able to keep going in the face of adversity, because you matter and what you have to contribute to this planet matters. And it's your attitude combined with all of these things that are going to clear the way for you to create the change you want to create in your life. And that is the end of my sermon for today. I trust there was lots for you in there today. I am happy to answer any questions. I know it's a big subject, so please feel free to email me at emma@emmadunwoody.com, to direct message me on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram. Please, if you have questions or you want to reach out, by all means do that. This is the toughest part of change, unblocking yourself and getting back up in the face of failure. But it is also the most rewarding. So get into it. Thank you so much for your time today. And I look forward to our next podcast together. Thank you and bye-bye. Hey everyone, I want to say a huge thank you for joining me today. I have had so much fun hanging with you lot. Can I ask that you share this podcast with friends and family and colleagues? Because it'd be super cool if we could share this work with the world, you know, so we can really make a difference, not only to our lives, but the lives of others. So thank you. And you know what? If you want bonus points, it'd be super cool if you leave a review. I would appreciate it. Thanks again. I've loved having you. I'm so looking forward to the next one. And please remember, anyone can change.